Let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 43. With our Bibles open before us, before we go to prayer, we will read again the opening two verses of the chapter. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. Oh, may the Lord our God open our hearts to this, his blessed word. Our Father and our God, we lift our hearts to thee. We thank thee for those truths that are set forth in the Holy Scriptures. These things are written of old time for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Instruct us in the way of the Lord more perfectly. There are things here, Lord, that we too, as well as Ezekiel, ought to see. We desire to see thy glory. We desire to see the glory, the honor, the beauty of the Lord Jesus. We pray that we will see the significance of Ezekiel being brought to the gate of the house of the Lord, of standing there looking toward the east, and of catching a glimpse of the Savior in his mighty power. Oh, may we see Jesus, gladden our hearts, help us to run the race looking unto him. Save us, Lord, from being weak and faint and dispirited in our own minds. May we rather consider him. Grant that even as the earth one day will shine with thy glory, our hearts will shine, our lives will shine, our homes will shine, at least, Lord, to some degree, with the glory of the Lord Jesus. Lord, do it for our congregation. We pray that the glory of the Lord will fill this house. If we have been reading, and we have, of the glory of the Lord coming into the house Ezekiel saw, O God, come to thy tabernacle. Come among thy saints. Come and dwell with us. Let thy glory, even that same glory that caused the earth to shine, oh, let that glory dwell with us in this house, and grant that in our own hearts we will recognize thy divine fullness and fall at thy feet. May the hand of the Lord be upon us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this chapter 43, God brings Ezekiel on another visitation of the temple. This means he will look again upon an area we might have taken to be familiar to him, especially since he had been around the precincts of the temple before. He had watched all of the notable features of the house being measured out so carefully. If there is any lesson in this, it is, look again at that which God has shown unto us. The first examination of the temple and its precincts was merely a preparation for the second. So let us understand that God has brought Ezekiel again to the point where he will commence another visitation of the temple. We have made it clear he has already been there. He has already been round the house of God. He has been in the outer court. He has gone into the inner court. He has examined the sanctuary. He has noticed how every detail corresponds to the measurements in the divine plan. I say Ezekiel has already been there. If that visit to the temple had been something of a casual sort, we might have said to ourselves, well, he would need to go again. But given the conditions already described in Ezekiel, where every measurement was so detailed, and every structure so exactly in correspondence to the divine plan. Ezekiel, all the while, noticing this, we might have thought he has already been there. He has seen everything. There is no necessity then for the prophet to go again and look at the house. But there is. The truth that we're stressing now, then, is we must go and look again at that which the Lord has shown us. Even if it is but a promise in His Word, and you have gone over that Scripture, and you feel that you have measured every part of it, and you have weighed it up so precisely, well then, go and look again. God speaketh once, yea, twice, but man, poor sinful man, perceiveth it not. Ezekiel then has just ended one visitation to the temple, and God takes him round the second time. Verse 1 then says, afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. Ezekiel begins this second visitation to the temple as he did before at the east gate. We're not going to turn now to chapter 40, to the opening words of that chapter. But it will be clear upon the first visitation to the temple that Ezekiel began there. It was at the east gate he saw the Lord. It was at the east gate he began, as the Lord conducted him, to go to the wall, and then to the porch, and to the outer court, and to the inner court. He ascended the steps into the sanctuary of God. It was at the east gate he commenced. He goes there now. During the first tour of the temple, the attention of the prophet is fixed on the arrangement of the temple. He is compelled to look at all the details in the outer and in the inner courts. He sees the pulse of the door. He sees the porch being measured this way and that way, and even the height is taken into consideration. There are even details concerning the wall that he notices, and the doors, and so on throughout the entire place of the sanctuary he visited. But in the second tour of the temple, beginning at chapter 43, Ezekiel witnesses the coming of God's presence and power into this house which is called by His name. Let us stress this. It is the presence of the Lord in power which establishes this house as the sanctuary of the Most High. It's the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. Without Him, without His presence, without His power, without His glory, the building would be but a house. But let the Lord come in the fullness of His grace, in the splendor of His glory. The house becomes the sanctuary of the Most High. It's the presence of the Lord that makes the house what it is. The opening words of chapter 43 correspond closely to certain points of teaching mentioned in reference to the coming of the Lord. And this is what we want to do for a time. Just dwell upon the coming again of Jesus Christ. That coming is foreshadowed in the words that commence chapter 43, and personally I believe that the details of this prophecy, this part of the prophecy, do bear close relation to the coming again of Jesus Christ. We will not see any sanctuary on this earth that is remotely like the sanctuary pictured by Ezekiel until the Savior comes again. But let us try and pick up some of these points that relate to the coming of the Lord. Some of the points of correspondence between Ezekiel's record of his second visit to the temple and those things that we can see in correspondence that relate to the coming of the Lord Jesus Himself. For one thing, we cannot overlook the appearing of the glory of God. The glory of God is mentioned twice in verse 2. Notice in the verse to begin with, behold the glory of the God of Israel. Behold the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. The Lord conducted Ezekiel on this second visitation to the gate that looketh to the east. The Lord brought him to that gate where, best of all, he could have a glimpse of the glory. That's a marvelous thing. If the Lord will so conduct your steps this year as to bring you to that place in His house where you can see the glory of the Lord Jesus, that will be a wonderful thing. We ought to say, Lord, monitor my steps. Lead me in the way that I will go, and bring me, in taking me to the house of God, bring me to that place where I will see the glory of the Lord Jesus. We need to see His glory. There are some Christians who are stymied by Jehovah's Witnesses, who are even thrown into confusion and difficulty, because that servant of Satan, peddling the devil's doctrine, is going to cast doubt upon the deity of Christ. Well, we shouldn't be in the dark as to His deity. We shouldn't be in the clouds of confusion as to where we stand on this great doctrine of the deity of Christ. If you can say, the Lord has brought me in my steps to that gateway in the house where I have seen His glory, you'll not have any difficulty saying, Jesus is God. I have seen Him. Moses prayed, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Isaiah saw Him sitting on the throne and spake of His glory. We need to see Him. We need to pray, Lord, bring me down to the gate that looketh to the east, to that place where, most of all, I can see His glory. If Ezekiel had been somewhere else in the sanctuary, he would have seen the glory, but not as well as he did when he was down at the east gate. The east gate of the house of God would look toward all of it. And just as he ascended up into glory from the slopes of all of it, the angels of heaven said, He will so come again in like manner as you have seen Him go. He ascended up from all of it. He'll be coming back to all of it. He went up visibly into heaven. He'll be coming again visibly from heaven. His people were on earth to see Him go. His people will be on this earth to see Him come again. And it's a lovely thing for Ezekiel to be brought down to that portal of the temple where he can see most of the glory. I want to see as much as I can, is his thought, of the glory of the Lord. This glory of the Lord is seen in two aspects. In verse 2, the glory of the Lord is seen in relation to the earth. The last part of the verse reads, and the earth shined with His glory. Obviously then, in speaking about the glory of God, we have to say the glory of the Lord, as it was seen by Ezekiel, certainly relates to the earth. Then something else, the glory of the Lord, as it is seen by Ezekiel, appears in relation to the sanctuary of God. Verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. That's exactly where Ezekiel was standing. Oh, to be as close to the glory as that. He's there in the gate. And the glory of the Lord, he said, came by way of the gate into the sanctuary, where he was standing. Then, verse 5, behold, the glory of the Lord fell the house. I'm saying the glory of the Lord appears in this chapter with a twofold aspect. We can see the glory of the Lord in relation to the earth. We can see the glory of the Lord in relation to the sanctuary. When the Lord Jesus comes again, He will come in the clouds of heaven. We'll not turn up the passage, but it's Revelation 1 and 7 which says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye will see Him. The casual reader will conclude that those clouds are the clouds that overshadow us from day to day. Those clouds that we can see almost every day in this country. But those are not the clouds the Word of God speaks about. These clouds which will appear at our Savior's return are the clouds of divine glory. He will come in the clouds of glory, and every eye will see Him. We are among those who look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Those words can also be rendered the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus then comes back again, every child of God on earth will see Him as He is. We will see the appearing of His glory, no matter where we are on the face of the earth. In Luke chapter 9, let's turn up this portion. Luke chapter 9, verse 26, the Lord Jesus describes His coming in heavenly glory. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. There are a number of things here to note. We're not to be ashamed of Jesus. We're not to be ashamed of what he says, lest he be ashamed of us when he comes. There is that soul here in the congregation who has been entangled in the snare of the fear of man, to the extent you have been ashamed of Jesus. You have been afraid to confess Him as your Savior. You have never really told anyone else outside your family or outside the church that you're a believer. You're ashamed of Christ. You may be ashamed of His Word. You don't want to take a stand for what the Word of God says. But then you're ashamed of His words. Don't be ashamed to own His deity. Don't be ashamed of the teaching of the Word of God with respect to the Lord's Day, with respect to the moral law, with respect to, let's say, the taking of life. All these commandments must stand. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. The law of God still stands. You're not to be ashamed of His words. You're not to be ashamed to say, I believe the book. I believe in Genesis chapter 1. I believe in Genesis 3. I believe in Isaiah 53. I believe in the virgin birth. We're not to be ashamed of His words. Lest He be ashamed of us when He comes. Did I see that child of God who is ashamed of Christ? Ashamed to confess Christ? Who's ashamed to own up that he believes in the Word? Somebody will sneer, oh, do you believe the Bible? You'll say happily and proudly, yes, I do. Not be ashamed of His words. Oh, take a drink. Oh, come with us and enjoy yourself. Do you believe the Bible? Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of His Word. Don't go with that crowd. You're in the wrong company if that's the case. You ought to line up with the people of God. That's my answer to that particular problem, if it be a problem. You ought to line up with the people of God. It will be a problem no longer. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Because if you are, He may be ashamed of you when He comes. In that day when heaven and earth flee away, when there will be found no place for them, how will it be with you if you find the Lord Jesus ashamed of you, that He will not own you up? I'll tell you what I want. I want the Lord to say of me, calling me by name, He has trusted me. He took His stand for me before men. He was not ashamed of me when He was on earth. When men laughed at me, when men spurned my love, when they blasphemed my name, He was not ashamed of me. He was not ashamed of the reproach of the cross. And I'm certainly not going to be ashamed of Him now. He would have reason to be ashamed of me. I have failed Him in so many ways.
I have fallen short of what I would like to be as a servant of Christ. Oh, again and again. He has reason, I say. I have let the Lord down, we have heard Christians say so many times. He has reason to be ashamed of us. He really has. He has reason to be ashamed of us. He undertakes here not to be ashamed if you have not been ashamed of Him. And if you're ashamed of Him before men, He will be ashamed of you before His Father.
When He comes to earth, He will have a threefold glory. You'll notice that it does not say the Lord will come in His own glory, and that's the end of the matter. No, He will come, let's be specific about it, He will come with all the glory of heaven surrounding Him. This is an incidental proof of His divine person. He will come with all the glory of heaven. And this glory is stated in a threefold way. First of all, He will come in His own glory. Our Lord Jesus has glory as a divine person. He will come in His own glory. He will come in His Father's glory. That is to say, He will take the glory of His Father to Himself when He comes. He will appear in His Father's glory as well. He will have all the glory of the holy angels. Not only will He take His Father's glory as well as His own when He comes, the Scripture says clearly, He is, listen carefully, He is the brightness of the Father's glory. So that which characterizes the Father's glory, that which causes the Father's glory to shine out, really comes from Christ. He's the brightness of His Father's glory. It's one thing, if I may use an illustration, and illustrations of divine things always fall into very poor comparisons. But it's one thing to point to a light fixture and to say, by this fixture we will have light in our dwelling. It's quite another thing for us to speak about the brightness of the light. It's the brightness, really, that sends that light to every corner of the dwelling. Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, is the brightness of the Father's glory. When He comes the second time, the Scripture says, He will come in the clouds of glory. You will notice also in Ezekiel 43, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we're drawing this parallel, we're taking these points, these lessons of comparison from Ezekiel 43. When our Lord Jesus comes the second time, His voice will carry across the face of the earth. Everyone will know that our Lord has come. The sound of His voice will be heard from pole to pole, from one end of the earth to the other. And His voice was like a noise of many waters. He didn't come silently. He didn't come, as it were, secretly. Although, with the shining of His glory, it would be impossible for Ezekiel not to notice something mighty was taking place. Ezekiel saw that glory. He saw the brightness of it. He was looking at Christ. Christ is the brightness. Christ Himself is the brightness of that glory. Ezekiel saw the Lord Jesus. But he also records that He spoke. He heard the sound of His voice. The Lord Himself shall come from heaven, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words the Scripture directs. When the Lord Jesus comes, then He'll come in the clouds of glory. When the Lord Jesus comes, the sound of His voice will carry across the face of this earth. When the Lord Jesus comes, the whole of the earth will be illuminated by the revelation of His glory. I like those words at the end of verse 2. I think they haven't really sunk into our hearts as we have read them. The earth shined with His glory. Numerous people have read these words without coming to understand what this really entails. The earth shined with His glory. I make no apology for reading out the words again, for uttering them another time. It's not that the preacher has nothing more to say, or he has some difficulty in getting on to another point. No such thing. But I well understand our limitations, and we don't even hear as much as we would desire to hear, and when we do hear, we can't hold on to it. So the preacher needs to lift the hammer of divine truth and hit the nail on the head another time. I said one time, not so long ago, to this congregation, there's not a joiner, as far as I know, who has hit the nail in the whole way with a single blow, unless there's a specially prepared channel for that nail. Of course, he could do it with one blow. But ordinarily, you'll have to hit the nail another time, and yet another time. Let me do that now. The earth being illuminated by the splendor of His glory. The earth shined. Now that's saying something. The earth shined with His glory. That must mean that the earth will change its character. The earth is not shining with the glory of the Lord now. Far from it. Anything we have seen of the world has filled our hearts with sorrow, with mourning. Anything we have seen of Lisburn as a town, just to specify this one place, has sent us crying unto God. And some have wondered, well, what will the next generation be like? We haven't even seen this burn with the lid off. We have only seen the superficial appearance of it. What would this town be like if God lifted the lid on it? And let us look inside. It would be appalled. The earth is not shining now with the glory of the Lord, but it will. It takes the Lord to come first. It takes His glory to appear. The sound of His voice to be heard. But when the King comes back, the earth will shine with His glory. Hallelujah! That's a wonderful thing. This not only means that the earth will be changed. Obviously it has to be changed. We're saying the earth is not shining now, and neither it is. But the earth, this earth, is going to be changed. Changed beyond recognition when the King comes back. And by the way, a few chapters further on from where we are here will detail some of these changes. But let it be said, this earth will change beyond recognition when the King comes back. The earth will shine with His glory. It's impossible for the earth to shine with His glory and not be changed. I don't believe that the world can shine with His glory and be the same as it was before. Remember that the word His appears here. The earth shined with His glory. The earth will recognize its Maker. The earth will cast off its mantle of clay and be garbed in the robes of divine glory. Believers will be like Christ when He comes. Believers will shine in His image. Yes, they will. They'll shine in His glory when Jesus comes. But I'll tell you, they'll not be alone showing forth His glory. The earth will shine. The earth is going to shine too. The earth shined with His glory. That's why I've got to tie in some way, what I read in Ezekiel 43 with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. It's a good thing to turn up some of the minor prophets. We might have a wee bit of difficulty. Well, That will be a lesson in itself. Learn the names of the book of the Bible, and you'll find your way a little more easily through the book. But Habakkuk chapter 3 says, verse 3, God came from Teman, that is, from the east, just as it is in Ezekiel. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. But this is the point we wish to stress. His glory. His glory. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His glory covered the heavens. What will it be like to see these heavens lit up with the glory of the King? Every heart will tremble. Every heart will be smitten with awe. To have the heavens lit up from end to end with the glory of the King, the heart of every child of God will rejoice in that hour. Look at chapter 2, the same book, Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Not just the knowledge of the Lord. And it will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, but also the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Oh, there has been no fulfillment of this word, I tell you. Never, never, never in all the ages of the church has this word been fulfilled. The knowledge of the Lord, never mind the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, does not cover the earth as the waters the sea. Sail away out into the Atlantic if you like. If you have some means of delving down into the depths necessary for this experiment, well, if it's like a bucket, just let it down to the surface. Bring up the bucket. You'll get water. Send that vessel away, way down, as far as you can go. And if you were in the Pacific, you could go down, a number of miles, if you had the means to do it. Go way down then, as far as you can, and bring that receptacle up, and you'll still find water. This water that covers the sea isn't just superficial. But away down to the depths, as far as you can go, the water's still there. And as those waters cover the sea, so the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. Have you ever seen that yet? No, no. You'll not see it until He comes, when the earth will shine. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's coming from the east and shining unto the west. This is the analogy employed here by the Savior. Just like the lightning. Let the lightning come in the darkness of the night. I don't care how dark the night, the lightning will illuminate the face of the earth. I've sometimes said you may be in your room sleeping when the thunderstorm breaks. The blind may be drawn, curtains also pulled across the window space. It doesn't matter if you have a blind. And it doesn't matter if you have the extra cover of the curtains. Once the lightning flashes, your room will be lit up for that brief moment of time. Your room will be lit up by the brightness of it. Our Savior likens His coming to such a moment, only it won't be momentary. It will be as the lightning shines from the east even to the west, lighting up the entire face of the earth. When the Savior comes again, the earth will respond on meeting its Maker and will shine with His glory. The saints of God will shine. We're here in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, then God's saints also will welcome His coming. and they'll welcome His coming in a wonderful way. Verse 43, Matthew 13, "Then shall the righteous shine. Then shall they shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." What way will the saints of God shine? Tell me. Oh, you say they'll shine with His glory. They'll shine with His image. Yes, they will. That's true. But they'll shine with a brighter glory than perhaps you have imagined. The Scripture says here, they'll shine as the sun. Now the sun is shining today. You have been around on occasions when the sun has lit up the whole of the heavens. There isn't one here, there isn't one in this company who could stand out in open view and look right up into the sun when He's shining there in all His glory. You would damage your eyes. You could not stand the sight of that glory. You could not look into the face of the sun unless you have some means of shielding your eyes. You could not gaze into the glory of the sun. But my Savior, Jesus Christ, says, you're going to shine forth in His image. You'll shine with the brightness of the sun when He comes. Then shall the righteous shine forth with the brightness of the sun, as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And He says, who have ears to hear, let him hear. Pick it up. Take it in. You can hardly take it in. You can hardly grasp it that this would be true of you. But it will. The righteous will shine as the sun. That if we were to meet you in the flesh, we could not gaze upon your countenance. We would have to shield our eyes. That's saying something. Do you know your calling? Do you really know what the Lord is going to do for you yet? When He says that you will be transformed into His image? When He says you will shine with His glory? Have you thought about that? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him pick it up. He shouldn't miss this. All believers are going to be invested with His likeness. We have time to fit in 1 Corinthians 15. We should notice this. In that day when the earth itself and all creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, believers will shine. This is a beautiful passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Somebody says, well, if I'm going to shine as the sun, how could that be possible? Let me tell you. Let me tell you clearly. Let me tell you carefully how you are going to shine as the sun when the Savior comes. Verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Do you see those words in verse 51? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. No. Not every child of God will cross the Jordan. Not every child of God will pass through the waters of that river. We'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Along with the world, we shall all be changed. It'll be a glorious change. You cannot shine with His glory without being changed. This corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. You cannot shine until the change occurs. Verse 52, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, in order that we may shine as the sun. The heathen will see that glory. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in glory and power. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. I'm going to be part of it.
you should be saying, if you're not a Christian, I want to be a part of it too. Will you shine as the sun? Will you shine as the stars forever and ever? Let's bow in prayer. And as we bow in God's presence, we will take a little time to dwell on these words. The earth shined with His glory. The King is coming back again. Ezekiel, in his experience, had a foresight of that marvelous hour. The Lord took him down to the gate where the glory would pass by. He saw it. He was on hand to see best, from the best prospect, the glory of the Lord. I don't want to see Him as through a glass darkly. I would rather see Him face to face. I want to be as close to the Lord as I can possibly be, to see as much of His glory as I can. I want to get as near as I can. People have lined up to see the Queen, and some have, in days gone by at any rate, stayed up all night to see her, to see her near to hand, so that nothing else will be in the way. I want the best view of her, some would have said. I want to see her as well as I can. I really want to look at her. But how much more wonderful to say, I want to have the best view of Jesus. You get down to the gate to see just where He's going to pass by, to be deposited there. That's a wonderful thing. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? You thought about it. Stay today. Stay now. Let us help you with the Word of God to Calvary. Don't miss out in heaven. Don't miss the Lord. Don't let the Savior pass you by. Dear loving Father, bless Thy holy Word this day to every one of our hearts with power. In Jesus' name.